Anybody want to pop a question to me before I start? Sure.
It's a pretty narrow question. If your answer is simply talk to fidelity, that's fine.
Okay.
I'm 60, retired, 6-7 years away. Took a big hit in the retirement amount
in
2 years ago.
22. Yeah.
Slowly building back up.
Right.
Do not want to take another hit like that in the next 5, 6, 7 years, if at all possible.
Yeah.
Are there some very conservative things that may can be done with regards to that, or still growing?
Yes.
Or not, including things like just in CDs.
Yeah. Okay. Rachel, why don't you jump? We're going to jump around a little bit. I'm going to repeat stuff for the people that are listening to the recording. The question is, as you get closer to retirement, is there more conservative ways that I can invest my money so that I don't take a big hit if the market drops again? So, this is my pocket. I put pocket, yeah. Jump to slide, see which one it is. Like the 7th or 8th slide. This one here, Rachel. Isn't page number on there? Yeah, just jump to that slide. I thought I had page numbers on there. Yeah, I'll just show you. I'm going to shut the lights off so we can see a little better. This is an interesting graph. Don't worry about the details. I'll explain to you what all this means. These are the highs and lows of the stock market in any given year starting in 1980, which is kind of interesting. A good one to illustrate here would be the COVID year, which was 2020. When COVID hit, the market dropped 34%. Okay, that's the red dot where the low was that year. It closed 27% up. So if you panicked and you pulled your money out of equities and moved it into fixed income when it had dropped down to here, you gave up all this gain. Okay, so that's why they advise you, if you see in any given year, this was 2008, when the whole mortgage crisis started. I don't know if you can see from where you're sitting, but so you can see this is what happens. The overall trend for all these years was around plus 7 or 8%. So if you just left your money sit, if you first invested in 1980, your money would have quadrupled over that time. If you tried to play the market and pulled out, that's a problem. I just want to illustrate for you. This is why, even experts don't try and play the market, because you don't know. Again, this year, it started minus 8%, but now it's up 9%. So you're picking up some that you lost during last year. Remember, it gained 27, 29, 16, 27, so your money was growing like crazy in, 20, 21, 22. I'm sorry, like 18, 19, 20, 21. And then we had the big hit in 22. But it's coming back. So long term, you stay in if you're younger. Okay, so what you're saying is go backwards 2 slides, okay? So your question was, what is the risk of different investments? And again, ignore all this stuff, but the bottom line is, if you left your money sitting in cash, it wouldn't have grown, but it wouldn't have dropped in 2022 like it did. Fixed income is the place where you'd want to be if you want to be real conservative with your money. That would be bond funds, which are pay steady returns but low returns, or money market stuff. Okay, and we have a couple funds, the Fidelity Bond Index Fund and this Baird Core Bond Fund, that are very conservative. Then the larger cap stocks are getting a little more risk, and you go up the spectrum to like foreign equities and the smaller companies, the risk profile goes up, okay? So yes, the answer would be, if you really want to be careful, put your money in one of the fixed income investments that we have. And our website explains each of these things pretty clearly. But this is the whole idea. We also have what's called target date funds, which means if you think you're going to retire in 2030, you put your money in a 2030 target date fund. And there, Fidelity chooses investments, and as your retirement year gets closer, they're moving your money to more conservative investments. So you're less likely to lose, okay? So is that helpful in giving you the guidance you were looking for there? Okay. Any other real pressing questions that I... Yeah.
I'm going to retire January 15th.
Okay.
When do I fill out my EPC form for housing allowance?
You don't fill out a form. Okay. And actually, I'll jump to the... I'm sure... Are you a lot of here to hear a lot about the Ministerial Housing Allowance? All right. So why don't I just jump to that part of the slides show here? Let's see. Ministerial. Jump to this one here. It's toward the end. Yeah.
Move your mic a little. It's rubbing against your lanyard.
Oh, okay. All right, take the lanyard off.
No, that's the right one. I just move it to the middle here. You're good.
Do you want this one first?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Okay, so in kind of answering your question, there's no form that you fill out. Are you used to getting housing allowance through your current church situation? Yeah. So you're not going to be declaring your housing allowance like you did each year in the church, okay? So basically, if you recall at General Assembly every year, they have that little resolution comes up that says that the EPC allows you to take up to 100% of the money that you've put in your EPC retirement plan to use for housing expenses. Okay, that doesn't mean you can take $20,000 out unless you really had $20,000 in housing expenses. Okay, but whatever you do take out to cover real housing expenses, you can. It will be simply not included as part of your income. That's how it works. Okay, but you need to tell Fidelity when you're going to draw the money out. This question here: who determines the amount I'm allowed to designate for housing allowance expenses? You do. Okay, you make that determination. You could take out a lump sum at the beginning of the year. Let's say you're going to spend $18,000 in housing expenses, and I'll give a list of what counts as housing expenses in a minute. So you could take out $1,500 a month and set up a periodic $1,500 a month with Fidelity. But you have to tell them, I am using this for housing allowance. Don't withhold any income taxes. There's a form on our website. Yeah. And it's the form to set up systematic withdrawals. And there's a box UX that says this is for housing allowance. Okay? Use the form on our site, because if you could pull down a form just from Fidelity's general site, but they don't have the housing allowance thing noted on it. Okay? So that's the key. Now, you could probably discuss it over the phone, too. Do you know the answer to that question? Do you have to use the form that X's the housing allowance?
If you call Fidelity, they can give you a pre-filled form. I believe they do notate it on their end that it's for housing allowance. But on our website, the form will be the distribution form, and then you just select housing allowance. But well, they can give you a pre-filled form as well from Fidelity.
I downloaded it from your website. I fill it out and then mail it to you.
Yeah, you download it from our website. If your spouse will also need to sign and get it notarized. Okay. Once you've done that, you will either on the form it tells you the way you send it to our office. So you can either fax it, snail mail, or scan and email it to us.
Yeah. Okay. So again, you designate those things that you want it to be for housing allowance, and you don't want them to withhold the income tax.
If I do that for my retirement date?
Well, your retirement date doesn't have anything to do with it. You could start doing that as soon as you're 59 and a half. And you're not subject to penalty anymore for early withdrawal once you hit 59 and a half. So it doesn't tie in with when you retire. You can start taking money out and using it for housing allowance really at any time, but if you do it before you're 59 and a half, then you'd be subject to the 10% penalty for doing that.
So I'm 65, I'm looking at retiring in about 3 years.
Yeah.
And so I'm building up money for a down payment. We live in Manus.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what about when the time comes, could I take out a lump sum?
Go three more slides.
To help beef up a down payment if I needed to.
Okay, here we go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you type that up just for me?
I had a feeling you were going to ask this question. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know where to stand, so I'm not going to be in your way. But you cannot You can't buy, we had a guy buy a house for like $280,000, and it's, and this is right on our website, but somebody told him he could, and he had to pay all the taxes on that. He had to pay like $40,000 in taxes.
I was at this one last year, and I remember you saying not
yeah.
for that.
Well, no, there was another guy that did it. Yeah, since last year, somebody did it. Anyway, but these are all the things that you can count as housing expenses, okay? And just keep the paperwork on it. If you ever get audited, you just need to demonstrate, and you estimate about what you're going to spend. And it doesn't matter if you're a little too high or a little too low, because when your accountant does your tax return, what happens is that you're still going to pay taxes on your income, okay? So let's say you earn, through various sources, $50,000 during the year, okay? And you took out $20,000 from Fidelity, which was not part of that $50,000. If you took it out not for housing allowances, that would be added to your income that year. So when they do your tax return, it would show you had $70,000 in income, and you would pay taxes on the $70,000. Okay, so back to the example, if you earn 50 through regular sources and you took 20 out for housing expenses, Fidelity does not include that in your income. When you get your 1099, it says zero to put on your income line. So you only record 50,000 in income to the IRS, you only pay taxes on 50,000. Okay, so the 20 you took out for housing allowance, okay, if you ever get audited, they're going to say, well, you took out this 20, can you prove you used it for housing allowance? And you show your receipts, and that's fine. So that's the way that works, if that helps you. So this is a list of things you can count, and there's quite a few things on there that you can count. And again, this list is, you'll have access to this afterwards, and also it's on our website.
I see the listing there of a whole lot of your utilities.
Yeah.
Cable is changing.
It's still on there.
Do you know where streaming fits?
That's a good question. I don't know if streaming is on the list yet, but it seems like
I do pay for streaming.
I would think it's the same thing then. But I've not seen that listed.
Entertainment, not utilities, but.
But well, internet and cable, yeah.
Yeah. That's yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how they're going to rule on that. Yeah.
Can you talk about the fees, the administrative fees of our program compared to, I've been retired in 4 years.
Yeah.
So there's that possibility of going into individual retirement accounts.
Yeah.
So I've kept mine in this program just because the fees are
very low.
Very low.
Yeah.
Compared to doing that on mine.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, don't forget, if you roll your money out, if you're a minister and you roll your money out into an IRA or another type of retirement plan, you forfeit the Ministerial Housing Allowance from that point forward.
Yeah. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the administrative fees
yeah.
that you all use or Fidelity
yeah.
as
yeah.
denomination. That's what I'm talking
yeah. about. Yeah, just the only reason I made that statement is a lot of times an investment advisor will say, I can make more money if you roll it over into this individual IRA, and I've had ministers do that, and then they can't, it's not worth it for the housing allowance. I just brought that up. But we do, Aon, which is our fiduciary advisor that we hire, they do comparisons every couple years with our fees versus general population fees. We're nonprofit, we're self-sustaining, but we're nonprofit. We don't pay any commissions or fees out to anybody. You know, obviously we pay a fee to Fidelity, which is quite low, and I'm not remembering the exact amounts, but we're very low compared to everybody else. In other words, the fees that you pay, it's like $7 a month, I think, to cover our expenses, and then a small fee goes to Fidelity as well, which is very low too. So by comparison, if you moved it somewhere else, my guess is your fees would be a little higher. Yeah.
Question. So if it's in this 403B with Fidelity, but I cease to be a minister at any future point in time, well, let's say I just want to go open a hardware store.
Yeah.
As long as it's in the 403B, it can still be considered housing allowance, or is that only if I retain my credentials as a minister? Is there anything to be aware of?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, hardware store doesn't count. You're out then. I have a list for that, too. No, I don't. No, it's you earned it while you were a minister. So you don't have to continue to be a minister. The money that's in that account that you earned as a minister, if you rolled something in from before you were a minister, that won't count toward housing allowance. But anything you earned that you put in or your church put in while you were a minister is eligible for housing allowance. And Fidelity actually tracks that for you, okay? So, and just because you retire, you know, that's what the purpose of this is. The concept when this was set up was most of you live in a manse or your housing is subsidized. You have not had a chance to build up equity in a home like most people have. So when you leave ministry, now you got to go buy a house, okay? So you're basically getting a break from the IRS that says, okay, you never had a chance to build up equity, so you got to go pay the full price for a house now, and we'll cut your break on your mortgage payments and your other stuff. Use it, take it out tax-free. You guys are the only people in the world that have this option where you can put it in tax-free and take it out tax-free, right? Don't put it in a Roth because that is taxed when you put it in, and then it's not taxed when you take it out, but you get to be not taxed when you put it in and not taxed when you take it out when you have the housing allowance.
How long has it seemed like since so the IRS is not tracked? He went started the hardware store at 60. They don't say he's no longer a minister from 60. They don't care.
Well, if you put more money in a retirement plan after you've retired and it's a 401k or a regular IRA, that's not eligible for the housing allowance anyway.
True. But he can be start the hardware store at 60 and then at 65 retire. And then he gets looked at as he's a minister now. You know, I mean, he earned that while he's a minister. So
it's when you earned it. And the other, here's another, this is a shame, but if the minister passes away, the spouse is not eligible to use it, the housing expense, as deductible. It's only the individual who earned it when they were a minister. Yeah, we had that happen this year too with somebody, yeah.
Kind of following up on Dana's question, Dana's a little older than I am, but yeah.
I could see that. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Same way I think, if you know, I'm 5, 6, 7 years away, living up in the manse, what if we knew an area that we were planning on retiring then? Can I pull out and buy a house now, even while I'm still living in a manse?
I don't know the answer for sure, but you can't double dip. In other words, if you're getting an allowance where you are now and you go buy a second home, I know this does not apply for a vacation home, so it probably would not apply for a second home. I would think it's got to be your main home, and if your main home is still a manse, then if you bought the other house, you wouldn't be able to start taking advantage of this until you were out of the manse. I'm pretty sure that would be the case.
I do have a for instance that friend of ours is a little bit older than us, that daughter. Yeah. He bought a house 3 years before he retired because he lived in a manse, and he said he couldn't.
Yeah,
he
okay.
Couldn't take advantage of
yeah,
but when
makes
he retired,
sense. Yeah.
He declared that as his
yeah.
main house that it can't.
Yeah. Your vacation home doesn't count, so I don't think a second home counts either. So, any other specific questions?
Too bad about that house.
Go ahead. We'll get a younger guy's question.
Yeah, so Claire, I'm a little further retirement, but. I got some year 4 of ordination and being able to do the housing allowance. And one thing that I found really difficult has been not, like presbytery-wise, not like somebody coming alongside saying, this is how you need to do your housing allowance. Or like,
yeah.
This is how you do, this is your taxes. How do you know? Yeah. What am I supposed to think
yeah.
of? And so
yeah.
we've had year after year hits with regards to having to pay at the end of the year lump sum. And so I was just curious about.
You've been paying extra taxes at the end of the year, is that what you're just saying, or something different?
Well, we were told, I don't know if it's anybody's fault, but maybe it's not brief, but not paying enough taxes in the year and not being able to plan through that and things like that. I don't think this is.
Yeah. There's. There's two different concepts. Housing allowance that you're earning while you're in the ministry that's on top of your base salary, okay? That is not taxed, okay? We're talking more after you've retired, how can you take advantage of the ministerial tax exemption for housing costs? So it's a little different. You can't double dip right now because you're getting a housing allowance to cover those costs. When you're no longer getting that, for instance, if you weren't living in a manse and you weren't getting a housing allowance and you're over 59 and a half, whether you're retired or not, you could be taking money down to use it for housing expenses on a tax exempt basis. Yeah.
So
is only related, but if I, when I start withdrawing or taking payments from my pension fund that I had with the USA,
okay,
or from Social Security,
right,
am I allowed to call that housing allowance, or is that all going to be taxable income?
Check with the, am I allowed to say PCUSA in this room or not?
Yeah,
I know what he's talking about. Yeah,
they came out with a paper every year,
yeah,
talking about how your pension.
It can be used that way. Yeah.
Your housing allowance.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. What a lot of people do is they assume that they take out everything you take out without taxes, okay, and then they declare their housing expenses, and then they pay the income tax on the difference. So if you took out $30,000 from your pension, and you spent $20,000 on, right, and you took all that out without paying taxes on it, you're going to owe taxes on the other $10,000 that was not used for housing. Yeah.
So I had a job before I became a minister.
Yeah.
And there was a 401k attached to that.
Right.
When I joined the DPC, I took that 401k and rolled it into the DPC pension fund.
Right.
So, I mean, and all that money is kind of...
Yeah, it's... When you rolled it in, Fidelity knew that. And they knew it came from a non-church plan.
So when it comes to withdraw, is there a formula that they use that says...
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, they have tracked that, and have you ever had that question, Rachel? You can inquire and find out what portion is and what portion isn't,
yeah,
right?
So you can find out what portion is available for housing and what portion that you rolled over before you became a minister. So if you are going to do a withdrawal for housing, they aren't going to take it from that portion that you withdrew before you became a minister.
Okay.
They're going to take it specifically from the portion that is. That you got while you were a minister.
Yeah.
So they know how much it is that was rolled in before you were a minister. And if you were a minister and you rolled it in, they have that mark, okay, that you can use that towards housing.
You wanted to ask that question up front, though, to see you know. Let's say you got $80,000 in there, $20,000 of it got put in for previously, but it's grown since.
Yeah.
So you want to ask, okay, I've got $120,000 in my account right now. What portion of it was from my old 401k, and what portion of it, because they'll track the earnings on both together. You follow me? So you'll know then when you're going to start to run out, because if you're not paying attention, you're looking at your total balance, and half of it belonged to a 401k or an IRA before, you're all of a sudden going to run out of housing allowance money, because you might use it up.
Yeah,
okay.
So I'm trying to keep like a percentage of whatever you get per year.
Look, yeah, and like Rachel said, that whatever you take out, they're going to apply to the housing allowance eligible part first until that's drained. That's why you want to keep track. Okay? Yeah.
That was a wake-up call for me. I'm about 2 years from retirement. The whole part about after retirement, pulling out
close
housing
that.
Expenses and being eligible for that. Are there other things that should be on my radar screen? In terms of withdrawing funds, what major category should I be talking with Fidelity about? In terms of strategies for withdrawing funds and effective.
Yeah, let's go to the Secure Act 2 slide. Yeah, there's a lot to that, and I may not answer your question accurately, so just when I'm done at the end. But the Secure Act 2 is brand new legislation that just came out, and there's a number of aspects to it that are pretty important and actually good things with it. Where is the slide that says Secure Act 2?
She went to that. She went to one that listed it.
It's all except for missing.
Keep going. This is for all the younger people that aren't here, how to choose your investment.
That's me. I want to know how that
is. Yeah. Well, I'll take some time for it.
All right.
Are you going backwards or frontwards? You're going backwards right now.
I'm trying to find it.
Yeah. Oh, keep going. I think we're coming to it now. Yeah, keep going past this. Sorry. Seems we're starting so late. Okay, go back one. Go back one. One more. Go back one more. Just for... So in terms of just overall real quick, Every time you see a red asterisk, it's because there's new regulations around this that came out by Secure Act 2, which are all pretty good. You used to get penalized whenever you withdrew money out, 10%. You drew out 10,000 or something, you got penalized $1,000, and then you had to pay taxes on it, okay? So Secure Act 2 brought out some new provisions that allow you to take out money earlier than 59 and a half without being penalized, okay? And these are examples of some of the things in there now that you can do. I never know where to stand on this. So you could see it, and there's more than that too. But for instance, for birth or adoption of a child, you can take out up to $5,000. You still have to pay the income tax on it, but you don't have to pay the penalty. So there are a number of new provisions there that allow you to take out some money early. If you live in an area where there's a declared disaster, hurricane, tornado, whatever, you can take out some money, and I forget what the limits are on that. It might be up to $10,000 to do home repairs and things like that without being penalized. And then once you're 59 and a half, okay, you can start withdrawing for housing expenses. And it's, of course, ordained to ministers only, and not have to pay the penalty, okay? And then, for instance, if you have to withdraw at 73 now for required minimum distributions, things like that, obviously you're not gonna have to pay the penalty. The new thing is there are a number of new withdrawal tools available. The traditional methods where you would just take a fixed amount out each month, or you could even get Fidelity to calculate your life expectancy. I was talking about to my wife about this stuff once, and life insurance and life expectancy and whatnot, start Social Security, and she got real quiet, and I was like talking at the paper, and I look up and she's almost in tears. She's like, "You're talking about you're going to die." So I never got past the point of, you know, the logic to it. I was business minded. I wasn't thinking about leaving my wife, you know, alone. Anyway, so there were a lot of traditional methods where you would take it out. But what the new Secure Act 2 has done is they've actually set up now that you can, you know, a traditional pension plan, the pension plan is owned by your former employer, and you're going to get X dollars a month. And the risk is theirs, the investment risk is theirs and everything, okay? That's a pension plan structure. What we have and what most people have nowadays is what you call a defined contribution plan. And that's where it's your money. You're putting it aside. You decide where it's invested, and you decide how to take it out. But earlier question, you took some risk in saying, am I going to be invested too much, for instance, in equities? The market drops 15% when I'm ready to retire, and I just lost 15% of my retirement savings. Okay, so Secure Act 2 has now set up a couple mechanisms where you can take that risk off you and actually buy an annuity with it. So just flip to the next slide. It's basically a guaranteed income option. What you can actually do is, and this is all just being set up, this is brand new, but let's say you've got $200,000 in your plan, and you say, you know, I want to put $100,000 someplace where I'm guaranteed nobody's going to touch it, okay? You can now purchase an annuity through an insurance company, okay, and you'll be guaranteed a certain payout for the rest of your life, okay? Now, the risk with that is if you die young, you forfeit all that extra money that you gave to the insurance company. But if you live 20, 30 more years than you were supposed to, you're going to keep getting that guaranteed payout. So there's four carriers that we're setting up with Fidelity on. You can pick who you want to use it. But you can take a portion of your retirement money now and lock it in with an annuity that's an insured fixed monthly payment that you're going to get. I'm trying to give you a broad overview of it, but this is brand new legislation. So, and then this is not clear yet from the legislation, but the first questions we went back with were, what happens once the money comes out of your retirement plan and is now held by an insurance company and they're paying you out? Can you use any of that for housing expenses and not have to pay income taxes on it? And we believe the answer is yes, through what's called a qualified purchase of a deferred annuity. But we're a member of the Church Benefit Association and the Church Alliance. One is a lobbying entity that goes to the federal government on behalf of about 50 or 60 different denominations around the country. So they're working to make sure this legislation includes a provision for the ministers. So I just wanted to point that out to you in terms of things you're taking out. And there's, it's, again, it's still, the legislation behind the rule is still being propagated, so we don't have all the answers on it yet. But this stuff will all be available some point between now and the end of the year to you folks. Yeah?
Who can we go to for advice on what annuity to choose?
Yeah. We're going to be careful which carriers we pick to make available to you. I believe there's other options you can do on your own, but I think we and you would probably rather have professional advice behind it. We have a consultant, a nationally known consultant called Aon, that we work with closely with our plan, and we also get advice from Fidelity itself. So we'll get more information out to you on that. I mean, these are insured programs, and you know the federal government is allowing you to do this. So, I mean, you can go with huge entities like Prudential or whatever, who a lot of people buy annuities from. So, I don't know, there were other questions. Did I answer your original question yet?
I understood you say that my spouse cannot pay, if I die,
all right,
she can't receive that as housing expense money.
She could, but still, I, she still gets your inheritance, but she just won't be able, yeah.
But if I purchase an annuity,
I have to check. I don't know if anybody here has more expertise than me on that, but that's something I still, because I've never dealt into the annuity thing because it was not an option before this. Yeah.
After I start withdrawing from my 403B, after I go retired and I get an interim job, can I add to that 403B while I'm withdrawing from it?
No, I mean, once you're no longer working for the EPC, because this is a plan, the EPC's...
Okay, it's the EPC
church. Yes.
I keep putting in...
Yeah, yeah. And even if you leave, I can go back to the PCUSA or something. yeah. Yeah, if it's a church, the point is, if you go into ministry somewhere and they're offering a church plan that includes the housing allowance provision in the plan document, yes, you could put that, start putting it in again. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Bart, just, I know you're not to give advice, but you think the annuity is a good thing.
Well, yeah, because it takes out the risk of a 20-30%, you know, if you remember that chart, you know, we had the big dip in 2008. I mean, it was, you know, 5 or 6 years. I mean, it started going up right away, but it took several years to recover that loss. So anybody who's in our age range is saying, you know, where do I, you know, I don't want to have this risk. Well, take half of it out, put it in, annuitize it, and then the risk is no longer yours, it's the insurance company's.
The only risk is if you don't live very long, you lost.
Yeah, and that would be things you need to look at, and I haven't started to investigate that yet in terms of that. Yeah, let's see. Is there anything else that was pressing? I'm trying to remember what the... Because you're going to have to go back in for your other sessions here. Yeah, well, technically we're done. Look, I'm happy to hang around and answer questions beyond this. Unfortunately, we started 20 minutes late because everybody got out early. But, yeah. So I didn't get a chance to show you the whole show. Just, but by the way, there are a lot of resources available. Can you find this slide real quick? It's easy. Not tomorrow, but again on Thursday, yeah. Just real quick here, guys. These are all resources. Yeah. Hey, hold off a sec. These are all resources available to you through Fidelity for free. And again, this slide will be available to you. But there's workshops they do, there are educational videos they do webcasts on different topics. So, again, this will be available to you after the meetings here. But this is all available to you. And what is on the next slide there, Rachel? I'm trying to remember. Yeah. You get this through Fidelity, but okay. Links to Fidelity. Okay. And there are other phone numbers and stuff. Again, we'll make sure you can get access to this for after General Assembly's over. But there are a lot of sources you can go to get advice on investing. Okay? We good? We can end now, but I'll hang around for a while and answer questions.